Scripture reading for today is 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, and then we're going to skip to chapter 4, verse 16. 1 John chapter 1, 5 to 7, chapter 4, 16. You can read along with me in your Bibles, your apps, or our New Mercy app. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, purifies us from all sin. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Amen. This is the word of God. This time I want to invite our preacher for the day, Pastor Tina. So please say hello and welcome her. Woo!
Hi, New Mercy. Welcome to our online service. My name's Tina. I'm the youth pastor here. And this is definitely new and different for all of us, but I am reminded of Mr. Rogers, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. So before he worked in TV for 30 years, he was actually an ordained Presbyterian minister, and he firmly believed that the space between his mouth and the TV screen and the viewer, that space was holy ground. So the New Mercy pastors, we warmly invite you to see this space between us as holy ground. And in this sacred space, may the love of God, the presence of God, the peace of Christ rest in you and in your homes in a real and tangible way. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Today we are going to be continuing our series, Created for Love, Revealing the Father's Heart. 2 weeks ago, if you guys can even remember, that was 2 weeks ago, Pastor Wanjie shared with us about encountering the Father's heart and how there's nothing you can do to cause God to love you any more than he does right now. And there's absolutely nothing you could do that would cause God to love you any less. That is truth. Hallelujah, right? And last week, Pastor John shared that even though that's true, our parents and our imperfect parents can sometimes lead to barriers and hindrances in our ability to know and receive the Father's love. And today we're going to continue. So with all these barriers that we experience, how do we then abide in the Father's love daily? How do we do that? 2 months ago, the youth group went on a winter retreat, and it was so amazing seeing God encounter them in a real and tangible way. And for some of them, they really experienced the Holy Spirit for the first time. They experienced God in more of a powerful sort of way. And it's easy for others who maybe didn't experience God in that way to look and think, what about me? I want to see breakthrough. I want to see and experience God's power in a tangible way. And I think that's true for many of us. We can look at these spiritual highs and these powerful experiences and think, that's what I want. That's when I'll know the Father's love. That's when I'll know that God really loves me. And I think looking to these spiritual highs and breakthroughs, even though, yes, these are amazing and I pray for them, I pray for more of them for each of us in the church, but looking only to that can be one of the biggest barriers actually for us in daily abiding in the Father's love. Even greater and deeper than that, we want to cultivate intimacy in a deep way, friendship with God in a deep way where he shares secrets with us. That's the kind of abiding love that we want to live in every day. So how do we do that? I just want to go through three points. So the first is humility. We often think of God's love as something we want more of. God, help me to experience more of it. Help me to fill me with more of it. The truth is that God's love, the fullness of it, is in Christ who lives within us and dwells within us. So we don't get more by God giving us more. We get more by yielding more of our hearts to God, yielding more to Him. The way that I think of yielding best is from David in Psalm 139. I love this prayer that he prays. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." What he's saying in this prayer is, God, my heart is yielded to you, completely open, laid bare before you. Search me, God. Is there any anxious thought in me? Is there any false motive in me? Is there anything that offends the pureness of your love, the holiness of your love? If so, point it out, Lord. Show me. This is a heart of humility. This is a heart that lays itself completely bare, that does not hide. It does not make excuses. It does not justify because our parents did this or this person did that. But it owns fully what's inside of the heart. And it says, God, search it, know it, so that you can bring it to light. In this passage, we have heard that God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. Part of what is in this truth is that God's love searches us. If we will give Him access, if we will lay our hearts bare before Him, He will search our hearts. And His light, when it searches our hearts, it's not to expose us or shame us or make us feel bad about what's inside. I think of it more like a flashlight that He shines in our hearts, and He exposes the stubs that we keep tripping over in our hearts. The things that we can't see when we hide, but we keep tripping over, His light shines to expose those things that keep tripping us up so that He can uproot, so that He can set us free from tripping over these false beliefs, these lies. That's what the light of Christ does. So humility, it requires us to give God access, to say, search me and know me, and to own what is there, to take responsibility for what's there. So that's the first key to abiding daily in God's love. Approach Him with humility. The second is patience. We need patience and perseverance, I would say, too, because many of us are so used to thinking in a certain way, a certain pattern of thinking. And as the Holy Spirit searches and redirects us to truth, it's a process. I think in this generation, everything's instantaneous, right? At the touch of, you know, one button, we can find answers to anything. It's the instant pot generation. Everything is so fast. And in this time, in this culture, we really have to cultivate slowness. I studied peace and justice studies and psychology in college, and both those majors did not do that much for me. But I do remember one thing from my psych class. So thank you, Wellesley, for this one sermon illustration. I remember learning about brainwaves, and I'm not going to go into all the different brainwaves, but I'll just mention briefly two brainwaves. So there's beta brainwaves that are activated when we are very alert, very anxious or tense. Whenever we're in flight mode or fight mode, you'll see high beta brainwave activity. So that's beta. Alpha, they are emitted more in a state of mental, emotional calm. So when you're doing things like taking a hot shower or going for a long walk outside when the weather's nice, you'll see alpha brainwaves activated. And Needless to say, right now, if we look at the world around us, a lot of people are emitting crazy beta brainwaves, a lot of frenetic activity, anxiety, fear, a lot of chaos around us. And the thing about brainwaves is that they are contagious. So if one person is, you know, in high beta brainwave mode, and they enter a room, it can actually speed up the brainwaves of everybody in the room. For us as people of God, we are called to live in a way where the presence of God, the peace of Christ within us, rules and reigns within us. And the way we do that is obviously not by going along with the sped upness of this world, but we have to cultivate consciously, intentionally, slowness, patience, stillness. We have to find spaces, whether it's, you know, the time in your shower to intentionally turn to God and ask for His presence, ask for Him to speak. We need patience to abide in God's love, because this culture, if we just allow the culture to lead us, our minds will naturally drift to the places of greatest anxiety, of greatest fear. When the Apostle Paul says, "Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ," and when the book of Proverbs talks a lot about the mind, I'll just list two verses. Above all, be careful what you think, because your thoughts control your life. Or another proverb, 23:7, "For as a man thinks within himself, so he is." So these verses about the mind really mean that we have to be careful and intentional about what we allow our minds to drift to. To daily abide in God's love, it's, again, God, search our hearts, know us. And it's taking the thoughts that are not in line with the mind of Christ, taking those thoughts captive. And if these thoughts that we have in our heads, if they're leading to fear, if they're leading to hopelessness, if they're leading to anxiety, this is an invitation for us. Okay, turn to God, access His presence, ask Him to search what's underneath that, and give that over to God. The great news in this is that the Holy Spirit is our great teacher. We don't do this alone, and we don't strive after peace. He teaches us, He leads us, He comforts us, and He guides us into all truth. He's like our great trainer, and He is the type of trainer where you never fail with Him. He is persistent and loving, and He is walking with us in this. So our main job is to stand in the light, keep giving Him access, and be patient as God continues to lead us in His love. And lastly, the third key I want to mention is, in order to abide in God's love, we must act on the love of God. In this first John passage, it says, "Live out the truth, walk in the light, take action." The pattern of this world tends to go like this. You tend to say things like, "I'll believe it when I see it," right? Or "prove it." Basically, when we have areas of disappointment, when people have failed us, we tend to build up walls of self-protection, and our stance towards other people, even towards God, is, "I'll believe it when I see it, prove it, and then I'll know it, and then I'll believe it." That's the order the culture will tell us to go in, and our disappointments and hurts will tell us to go in. But the Word of God tells us, actually, faith, the journey of faith, starts not with experiencing it and having it proven first, but it starts with hearing the Word of God. And just as an aside, in this season, when some of us have a little bit more time, really, let's spend time meditating on the Word of God, not just for knowledge's sake, for information's sake, but for encounter's sake. This is God-breathed. God's breath is in this. When we allow His Word and time with His Word, He can search our hearts. He can make known what is not known to us through His Word. And the journey of faith is hearing and then believing, right? Faith comes by hearing. So we're called to hear the Word of God, believe the Word of God, hold fast to the Word of God, and then act on the Word of God. And in doing that, that's when we see the affections of God poured out into us. That's often the journey of faith in Scripture. So for me personally, I have been practicing this more regularly. My daily prayer as of late has been, God, You are fullness of light, and You live and dwell in me, and Your light desires to touch the people around me. So when I am walking in a grocery store or walking down the hallway, I look so weird. Walking down the hallway, sometimes I'm literally walking down the hallway like this. I'm praying for my neighbors. I'm imparting the peace of Christ to my neighbors. When I'm in an elevator, I'm asking God that the presence of God, the peace of God would flow into this person. And I fully believe that, yes, something is released when we are that attentive to the peace of God. But we can only release the peace of God if the peace of God is reigning within us, right? So these are the steps that I invite us all to take, especially in these weeks ahead, to give God an honest heart in humility, lay it all bare before Him, to have patience in this process, and to persevere, and to act on love. Something that DK, my husband DK, we took a class last year with Rob Reamer, and some of you might know him. He's written a bunch of books, including Soul Care, and now he travels around the world doing conferences, and DK loves calling him his personal mentor. So he'll often quote, "My mentor said this, my mentor says this." But one thing that DK's mentor often says is, ask yourself when a lie is vying for the truth, ask yourself, what would a deeply loved person do right now? How would a deeply loved person act right now? And right now, church, the world needs us to know our worth, to know the love of God that is poured into us, that is proven on the cross and in His Word. The world needs us to live like deeply loved souls. So I welcome us to walk in the light as He is in the light, to abide in love so that His love can fill us and overflow out of us to this darkened world around us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me pray for us.